As we think about this, understand what's being said here. Jesus kept telling those following Him, the hour has not yet come. The hour has not yet come. The hour has not yet come. And now He says, the hour has come. What hour? The hour for Him to be crucified. The only truly innocent man, fully God and fully man, is going to be hanging on a cross at the hands of a human government, at the wishes of religious leaders. A man who had never sinned and never done any wrong is going to be hanging on a cross. But He's not swept away in the midst of simply worldly circumstances. He's there by the foreordained plan and purposes of God. He's willingly there. He's going to be crucified. A thought so amazing that He is thinking about it at one point and sweating drops of blood. He's going to be crucified. He knew He was going to the cross. He is to be the suffering servant. He, the one who has never sinned, is betrayed. He's mocked. He's spat upon. He's ridiculed. And what does it say about what He's thinking about and what He's focused on? It says here in these verses, having loved, He loved. He's focused on showing His love to His people and showing it to the uttermost. Now, there is no circumstance, there is no suffering worse than the suffering of the hour that is upon Jesus here. It's the greatest act of injustice in the history of the cosmos. And yet, He is not marked by self-pity. He is not marked by self-absorption. What mode do you get in when you're marked by self-pity? When you are marked by self-pity, you're thinking about you. Self-pity always results in the eclipse of everything else around you, and it is feeling sorry for yourself, and yet that's not what He's doing here. And then verse 2 only heightens it. Verse 2, during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Now, in the Greek, the first word is and. And so the end of the verse 1 is He loved them to the end, and then the and is the explanation of the extent of His amazing love. He loved them even though He's about to go to a cross, and even though He's about to be betrayed by one of those closest to Him. You see, the betrayal is mentioned in verse 2. Precisely so, the reader will connect the foot washing that's about to happen to the death of Jesus on the cross. You see, there is an illustration in this foot washing that is preparation for His cross work. What He's about to do in the foot washing points us to the reality of Him willingly going to a cross. And He's getting His disciples ready to be sent out after His crucifixion.